Today's daf is Becharos daf Mem Aleph. We left off at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Mem Amud Beis. We're continuing through the various mumin that would allow the shechita of a Bechor. So says the Mishnah, Zanav ha'egel she'ena magas la'arkov. If the tail of a calf doesn't go all the way down to a certain joint in the calf's thigh, that's a mum. That means that the tail is not long enough. So Amru Chachamim, Kol Marbis HaGolim Kein Lecham, say, what are you talking about? That's how calves grow up. That's part of the process of their maturation, is that at some point their tail is not that long. So that's not going to be a mum. Kol Zman Shu Megadlin Heinim Tachos, and as long as they grow, the tail continues to stretch out. Ezu Arkov Sha'amru, when we say it has to reach a certain joint in the thigh, which joint are we talking about? Rabbi Chanina ben Antigone Somer, Ba Arkov Sheba Emtza Hayerech, it's the joint that's right in the middle of the thigh. So the Gemara just has one line in this Mishnah, Tama Kafata Elyar Vlo Kafata Tachton, Ukenegdo Begamel Nikar, that we talk about a particular joint that is in the upper part of the thigh, not the one in the lower part of the thigh, and it's the part that would be recognizable from the outside of a camel. The camel's anatomy in the area of the thigh is much more recognizable from outside of the body than a cow's is, so we're drawing the parallel on a camel. We're saying that joint would be recognizable on a camel. Next, Mishnah, about all of the mumin that we said in the Mishnah up until this point in this parak, all of these mumin are considered valid mumin that you're allowed to shecht the bechor on their account, and if they're hektish animals and they have these mumin, so you could be poda the psulei amukdash based on these movements. So says the Gemara, Hasulamali, Hatanale Resha Al Elu Mumin Shachtarasabhar. Look at the name of this parak. First words of the parak were Al Elu Mumin, meaning obviously we said at the beginning of the list that all of these mumin are mumin that you're allowed to shachta bachar. Why do we need to cap off the list with a repeat of the first statement at the very beginning of the list? So Sefat Srichale, no, we need to be told this last statement as well. Because Psulei Mekdashin Niftan Alehen, we need to be told this last statement not for al elu mumin shochtan as a bechor, but for the second halacha, the psulei mukdashin niftan alein, that you're allowed to be poda psulei mukdashin based on these mumin, because that it didn't say at the beginning of the parak. So says the Gemara, it didn't say, but we knew it. Hanami pshita mishchat shachtinan mifrak mibayi. That's also obvious. If you're allowed to shecht a bechor on account of these mumin, obviously you're allowed to be poda psulei mukdashin on account of these mumin. Does the Mishnah really need to say it? It's the same halachos of what's considered a mum bivehema. So the Gemara answers, ela aidi ditana shlosha hosif va'amru lo lo shamanu elas elu. Since we had a Mishnah in yesterday's daf where Ayala wanted to add three more mumin that the Chachamim didn't have as part of their Mesorah, and initially the Chachamim were not accepting of his three additional mumin, and it took a while till a later generation of Chachamim added his three mumin to the Masorah, the Katani va'asidi chida'a, and then we started mentioning in subsequent Mishnayos on Mem Amud Beis, we mentioned shitos of Das Yachid to add other mumin, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. We kept on adding shitos of individual Tanayim who added on to the list of mumin. So that's why we need to say, after we list what sounds like Das Yachid, what sounds like a few shitos of Das Yachid in a row, where you might have thought that it's not accepted, that these are just individual opinions that are not accepted by Halacha, so the Mishnah has to finish it off by saying, no, we accept all of these things. We accept every single one of these mumin as valid mumin, and for all of them you could shech the Bechar, for all of them you could be podeh psulei hamukdashin. Fine. The Rambam writes of Vlodus HaKachim that come out Derech Dofen. Rambam gives a list. He's in Hilchas Tmura. He says if you have a cesarean section, or you have of Kachim animals, or Sheyoldu Tumtum Androgynous, an animal that's a Tumtum and Androgynous, or Klaim, or Trefa, an animal that's a Trefa, all of these you could be Poda and bring with their money a carbon that's Ra'oi for this amount of money. So the Lech HaMishnah writes, from the fact that the Rambam doesn't mention that you need a mum in order to be poda, sounds like he holds you could be poda all of these animals without a mum. And apparently, these psulim are so great, ein mum gadol me'elu. There's no mum greater than these psulim. So what it sounds from the Rambam, very explicitly, is that a trefa is a good enough mum to shecht on it. meaning not only are the Mumin listed in this Perek, but you have to go back to Chulin and look at all the halachos of Treifas. And a Treifa would be considered a valid enough Mum that you'd be allowed to shecht an animal based on that Mum. So the Rav Zalman Meltzer in Evin HaAzel points in Yisurim Mizbech, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud, proves it from another Rambam also. The Rambam writes that a behema that becomes a Treifa is Asal Mizbech, but Ein Podin Osa, because you still can't be poded, because Ein Podin Asa Kachim Lachilim Laklavim. You can't be poded Kachim just to feed it to the dog. Sounds like had it not been for that Halacha, it would have been okay to be poded based on the fact that the Treifa is considered a valid Mum. But it's only a valid Mum Legabe Pidyon. But in regards to other halachos, it would not be considered a valid mum, and therefore a kohen who is a treifa is not pasul avoda. It's only a din in pidyon. Okay, that's what seems to be the shitas Rambam. Says the Mishnah now. Next Mishnah. The elu she'en shochten alei lo b'mikdash lo b'medina. The following is a list of mumin that are enough to pasul it from being used on the mizbeach, from being shechted as a carbon b'mikdash, but are not enough to allow it to be shechted b'medina. They're not significant enough mumin to be considered a vaday mum that you can shecht it b'medina. So it's somewhere in between. And they are chavarva v'amayim she'in kavuin. If you have white spots or water in the eye, that is not kavua, that is not remaining there forever. And we discussed in previous Mishnayos how to test if it's kavua or not. V'chutin ha'pnimios she'nifkamu aval lo she'nekru. Or if you have the inner gums, the gums further inside the mouth, that are pug, but they are not completely uprooted. O bal gerev, an animal that has a certain type of boils. O bal yabelis, it has a wart. O bal chazazis, it has some other type of boil. Or zaken, an animal that's old. V'chola, or sickly, or mezuham, or smelly. V'shenev de bo avera, if an animal had an avera done with it, meaning an animal had bestiality done with it. V'shehemis adam, or an animal killed somebody else. But these last two cases has to dafka be if it had bestiality or killed a person. Based on the testimony of only a single witness or the Bailim themselves, because if you have two witnesses, the Gemara is going to say, well, then you kill the animal, then there's nothing to discuss. V'tumtum v'androgynous, an animal that's a tumtum or androgynous, all these cases, lo b'migdash v'lo b'medina. You can't shecht it b'migdash, but neither can you shecht it b'medina. They're not significant enough mumin to permit shechita b'medina. Rabbi Shmuel omer, ein l'chamum gadol mizer. Rabbi Shmuel says, wait a second, androgynous? There's no greater mum than an androgynous, that b'makom nakvus, the place where it has a simen of being in a keva, that's considered like a mum, and therefore it should be a full-fledged b'char bal mum, and should be able to be shechted b'medina. The Chum Marmim Einu Bechor El Nigzas V'Never. The Chum say no to the other side. They say it's not a Bechor, because only a male animal is a Bechor. An androgynous is not a male. So a Tumtum is a Suffolk male. Fine. But an androgynous is not a male. An androgynous, we see it as Simani Nakvus and Simani Zachrus. So it's not a male. Male, it's not a Bechor at all. So it could be Nigzas, it could be Nevad. You could do whatever you want with it, like a regular animal. So three Shitos had to treat an androgynous. Tanakama holds it's considered a partial mum, mum enough that you can't use it on the Mizbe, but not mum enough that you could shecht it b'medina. Then you have Rabbi Yishmael, who says no, it is the ultimate mum, and therefore you could vaday shecht it b'medina, but it has kedushas b'char. Then you have the Chum that it doesn't even have kedushas b'char, because to be a b'char, at the very least, it needs to be a male. So there's a lot to discuss over here on the term. You know, there are a lot of items obviously listed in this Mishnah, specifically the term zaken. What exactly is a zaken when it comes to an animal? There's an important Mishnah Lamelech in Yisurim Mizbeach Perek Beis Halacha Vav, where he says that l'chora the shear of zikna is when the behema gets to a point where it starts shaking as a result of its old age, which is the way the Rambam paskins when it comes to Mumei Kohen. The Rambam Bias Migdash Perek Zayin Aloch Yud Beis says that when a Kohen becomes a Zaken, what is a Zaken? Namely that he's shaking as a result of old age, so that is that's Zikna, then he's Pasul Avoda. So the same over here, the same by the animal. The Rambam doesn't say that by Mumei Behema, because he's Samech on what he writes by Mumei Kohen. Figures, you'll make the tushtel, you'll realize that the same definition of zakin that we use by a kohen is the same definition that's operative for a behema. But Frak the Mishnah Lamelech. There is another Rambam, Maisa Karbonos Perak Aleph, Halach Yir Aleph. For the Rambam writes that Shlamim, carbon Shlamim is brought min Akvasim, min Izim, min Abakar, min Zachar, min Kevos, min Akdolim, min Akhtanim. And Akhtanim, he says, is mi ben Shmonis, Yamim at Shana Tamim, mi Yom Liyom. Akhtanim means from 8 days old until it's 1 year old. Vagdolim, Babakar, at Shalushanim Shlemos, mi Yom Liyom. Gedolim is until 3 full years for a cattle, but son at Shteshanim Shlemos. And for sheep 2 full years. Yoser alze harei zaken vei makriven also. More than that, it's not just stam. The Torah says ben shteishanim ben shalishanim. No, more than that is a zaken, and a zaken you can't be makriv. Bottom line is what you see from that Rambam is he defines zikna not in terms of physical characteristics, but in terms of years. He defines zikna based on an actual age of the animal. So it seems a little bit strange over here. The Rambam is defining zikna by or what we thought at least that the Rambam you make the tzushtel between mume kohen and mume behema that it's based on symptoms that you would define zikna. And there is also Gemara Maseches Sota. Whereby kachim it doesn't say ben shana because shanim are not posel. So how could the Rambam say that zikna is tali b'shanim? It says beferish in the Gemara that shanim are not posel, that a certain number of years is never going to pasel a korban. So the Mishnah Melech has the following important chiddush. He points out that there is a Mishnah Maseches Parah. The Rabbi Yossi Aglili says parim b'nei shtayim shenemar upar sheni ben bakar tikach lechatas and chamram af b'nei shalosh rameram af b'nei arba b'nei chamesh ksherim. The Yavashita Reb Meir of what age can Parim be brought, and he says, look, technically as old as you want, but we don't bring old ones mipnei hakavod, which makes it sound like the whole din of a zaken is only a din midrabanan, not like our Gemara sounds like that the psul of a zaken is derived from a pasuk we're going to see in our Gemara that it's psul d'oraisa. So says the Mishnah Melech, what all this leads you to, again, the two kashas. Number one, we have a stira in the Rambam. Is zikna measured by symptoms or is it measured by years? Number two, we have a stira in the Gemaras. Our Gemara sounds like zaken is a psul d'oraisa. Gemara in Sota sounds like nah, it's mipnei kavod, it's only psul midrabanan. These two kashas, says the Mishnah Lamelech, answer each other. There are two different psulei zaken. When an animal is so old that it has symptoms of being an old animal, it's shaking, it's quivering like an old animal, that is pasul min haTorah, that is a full-fledged mum. If you are makriv such an animal, it's pasul. But then there's a second type of zikna, and that is zikna b'shanim. By that, it's only a din midrabanan b'pnei kavod, not to shech such an animal, and therefore if you do shecht it, it does not become pasul. And that's what the Gemara in Sota is talking about, that it doesn't say ben shana, ein shana, if it doesn't give a number of years in the Torah to define when is the latest time to bring that animal, shanim would not be posel. Because that what the Gemara is saying is midaraisa wouldn't be posel, but midrabanan b'pnei kavod, it still is posel, it still would work. So that answers both problems. It also answers the following question. There is a Gemara Maseches Zevachim in Daf Nun Tesel Mem Aleph, where the Gemara says that karbanos that were brought during the Bayis Rishon, karbanos that were designated, that were set aside during the last days of the first Beis HaMikdash, could no longer be brought by the time they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash, even if the animals were still alive, because they were old, they were zakenim, and because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed for 70 years, so by 70 years it was already old. So Rashi says, it's the psul is, the psul of zaken. So Tosfos asks, wait a second, there's a medrash that says, B'yamei Shlomo, B'shas Binyan Bayis Rishon, they brought parim that were hisnad, that the Nasiim were misnadev in the midbar, that when to carry the Aron. So meaning the Nasiim were misnadev certain karbanos in the midbar, and by the time Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, there were certain animals that were still alive. It stretches the imagination a little bit, but certain animals that were still alive that they were able to bring as karbanos. So how is that allowed? Asks Tosfos. I thought there's a psul of zikna, and that's why the Gemara in Zvachim says they couldn't bring in the second Beis Hamikdash animals that were designated in the first Beis Hamikdash. So he said that maybe it was hara'as sha'a. That hara'as sha'a, they were allowed to bring those animals, but really there is a psul of zikna. But the Sfasemis just points out in Masechet Zvachim that based on what the Mishnah Lemelech says, that there are two separate psulim of zikna, you can say that these parim that lived that many years, they lived for centuries, they must have been unusually strong parim. So even though they were zikanim, in shanim, they probably weren't, they didn't start quivering from old age at the age of 100 or the age of 80 or whatever, probably wasn't doing it at 200 either. They were extremely, they were b'derech nes, whatever it was, they were extremely strong animals, so maybe they didn't have a psul min haTorah. Maybe they only had a psul midrabanan. Maybe their whole psul was only a psul midrabanan based on what the Mishnah Lemelech says. So that Mishnah Lemelech helps us answer up a lot of things. It's also unclear in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said not only zakin, it said chola. It's unclear how you define a chola in this context. The Gemara doesn't say a shir of choli. The Gemara is not going to help us with this. In terms of movement of kohanim, the Rambam writes a chola is kishu roed mipnei cholio v'kishlon kocho. The Rambam writes in Bias Migdash per Zayin Alach Yud Beis, chola means that he shakes. He shakes because he's so sick. So the Ar Samech says, where does he get that from? So he must learn it from the din of a zakein, right? He says there's a Gemara in Maseches Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis, says that a kohen gadol is a zakein or an istinis that needs a little help with the freezing cold floor and then the freezing cold mikvah in the Beis Hamikdash. So they would be malabnin ashishio shel barzel. They would heat up hot coals to warm up the mikvah for him. So if the kohen gadol was a chol, how is he allowed to do the avodah at all? So chola is a mum. So what do you mean? If kohen gadol is a chola, that we would make some sort of accommodation for him? What do you mean? He shouldn't be allowed to do the avodah at all? So you see that not every chola is possible avodah. It has to be some type of significant chola that his whole body quivers, his body shakes. Even though the Mishnah doesn't say chola over there, it says zakin or istinis, but nevertheless, we assume that there's a correlation between the two. The Rambam, when he quotes that halacha, doesn't say zakin or istinis. The Rambam writes zakin al chola. Sounds like that was the Rambam's girsa. So probably where does the Rambam get his shear of chola? That has to be when he shakes. So that's what Ravis Zalman Meltzer writes. And Ibn Azal Mistami, he learns it from our Gemara about zakin, that the Gemara equates zakin and chola. The Mishnah equates zakin and chola. So if zakin the shear is until he shakes, Mistama, that the same thing is going to be true of a chola. Let's see the Gemara. Says the Gemara, the gerev lo is a gerev, a boil, not enough to be an absolute mum. Vaksiv gerev baraisa, it says it refers to the Torah. The chazazis lo is the chazazis type of boil, also not enough to be an absolute mum. Vaksiv yalefes baraisa, but it says yalefes in the Torah, and yalefes is chazazis. How do I know that? Because with Tanya we have a braisa. Gerev zeacheres yalefes zu chazazis a mistress. So you see beferish in the braisa that yalefes is a chazazis. So vamresh. Why does the Torah call it Yalefes if it's really Chazazis? Because it doesn't go away. It attaches itself to a person's body until the day that he dies. So bottom line is we have a Kesha. How can you say that it's not a full-fledged Mum? Both of these, the Gerev and the Yalefes and the Chazazis, are explicit in the Torah. So Bishlam, Chazazis lo Kasha. The Chazazis is not going to be such a problem because Kan b'chazazis ha-mitzvus, kan b'chazazis di'alma. Maybe there are two different types of chazazis. There's chazazis ha-mitzvus, which is the shchin, the mak of shchin that they had in Mitzrayim. That's why it's called ha-mitzvus. And there's regular chazazis, al-gerev ha-gerev kasha. But we do have a stira within gerev. Is it a full-fledged mum or is it not a full-fledged mum? And it's called gerev ha-gerev nami lo kasha. Ha-blach ha-bi-yavesh. It depends if it's moist or dry. Lach itzi, yavesh lo mitzi. A moist gerev will heal itself, a dry one will not heal itself. Frek the Gemara v'lach mitzi, a moist one will heal itself. Vaksiv yacha Hashem b'shchin Mitzrayim. Pasuk says that Hashem is going to smite you with the shchin Mitzrayim. Ubatchorim v'gerav v'achirim asher lo sucha lehirafei. Umilchsi v'acheres hare gerav lach amur. It says v'acheres that already covers gerav lach. V'kamar asher lo sucha lehirafei. The pasuk says you cannot get healed from it. So how can you say that a moist one you can get healed from? Elatlasahavu must be that there are three types. Dekrai Yavesh Bein Mifnim Bein Mibuchutz. The one that the pasuk is talking about is dry, both inside and outside. Demasnisin Lach Mibuchutz Mibifnim. The one that the Mishnah talks about is moist inside and outside. Demitzrayim Yavesh Bein Mifnim VeLach Mibuchutz. And the Mitzrayim one is moist on the inside and is dry on the inside and moist on the outside. Dechsiva Yehi Shchin Avabuos Pareach BaAdam. So that's how we account for everything by saying that there are three different types of gerev in the pasuk, and each time we find it, it's talking about something else. In our Mishnah, it's talking about a different kind than the pasuk was talking about. We said included on the list of mumin that are at least partial mumin is a zakin, a chola, and a mezuham. Mezuham was smelly, a very smelly animal. So minanimili, how do I know that all of these three things are mumin that you can't shecht in the Beis Hamikdash, even though they're not enough to be matir shchit outside, but that you can't shecht in the Beis Hamikdash? The Tanur Rabban, we have a brisa of darshins each of them. Minatzonim, minaksavim, minaizim. Prat lezakin lechalul lemezuham. The three phrases, minatzon, minaksavim, minaizim. They each come to be mimayit, these three categories, zakin, chala, and mezuham. Why do I need three drashos? It's tzricha, dikas rachman lemutei zakin. If it only would have excluded zakin, I would have said delo hadarbari, because the zakin is never going to be cured from zikna. It always remains old. Avul chal till it dies. Avul chal the hadarbari emelo. But sickness, it might be cured from. So maybe I would not disqualify it. Because of mutei chola, and if it only would have excluded chola de la vorche, because that's abnormal. Avul zakein the hainu orche emelo. But zikna is a natural process. That's a normal thing for it to happen. It's not something like a chola that's out of the ordinary. That's an unfortunate circumstance. Zikna is actually a good thing because, as you know, people like to say, it beats the alternative, you know, becoming old. V'ikas rachmana trei, and if the Torah would have told us about zikna and chali, l'mutehani dekechishi, I would have said that it excludes a zakin and a chala because they're weak, avu mezuam, but a smelly animal, he doesn't mind the smell, delo kachish, it's not, it doesn't weaken him in any way, emelo, I would think that that's not a problem. V'inami l'mutei mezuam mishum dema'is, and even if it would have excluded mezuam, I would have said, yeah, mezuam is excluded because it's disgusting. Avlahani dvomi isi emelo, but a zakin and a chola are at least not ma'us, and therefore I would not have excluded them. Tzrichi, that's why I need all three. Fine, b'shenevdeba avera, then we go on to say that an animal that had bestiality done with it, or the Mishnah said, or killed somebody based on the testimony of one witness or the bailim themselves. So frankly, maraminani mili, how do I know that these are excluded from being shechted in the Beis HaMikdash? The Tanur Rabban, we have a brisa, min ha-behema, lahotzi roveh v'nirva. Min ha-bakar, lahotzi ha-sanevad. Minatzon lahotzias amukta. Each phrase excludes a different type of animal. So first we have to exclude a roveh v'nirva. Then we have to exclude an animal that was worshipped. Then minatzon is lahotzias amukta, an animal that was designated, set aside for worship. The kasha, some of the achronim ask, wait a second, why do I need a separate pasuk to exclude, to pasul an animal that was designated for worship? Why don't I just learn from a kal v'chomer? I'm sorry, why do I need a separate pasuk to exclude an animal that was actually worshipped? Why don't I learn from a kal v'chomer from the fact that an animal that was designated for worship is already pasul? Shouldn't that be enough that if a muksa, which you were never mishtachve, no one was ever mishtachve to, no one ever did anything, no one was ever ovid it, still it's asr because it was huksa l'avod zara, kolshkin and nevad, where someone actually worshipped it, it should be problematic. So some of the Achronim Amritarates that had the pasuk said the Nibir Adaf, he quotes from an Achron called the Sefer Beis Avraham, who's a Amritarates, that if the pasuk only would have said one miyot, I would have only asered a nevad, I would not have asered a muktza. So that's why I need two drushes to tell me that both the nevad and the muktza, because I wouldn't have known a muktza without first darshaning the nevad. That's a pasuk of teretz. Fine, and the Gemara goes on, the Brisa continues with drashas. Uminatzon lahotzias anogeach. That excludes an animal like gores. So fret the Gemara, habenek talaninu. Aren't all of these animals going to get killed anyway? So what kind of discussion is this that they can't be brought as a carbon? Of course not. They're all chayiv misa. So al piyedech or al piyabaylin. No, that's what the Braisa fills us in. Like the Mishnah already taught us, we're talking about where it's only based on an eidech or based on the baylin that we even know that they had these things done to them. Oh, so that's why it's not so pashut. That's why they're not going to get killed. So why aren't they killed up here? The Bailam. Bailam comes to Bezin and he says, look, my animal is engaged in bestiality. My animal killed somebody. Why don't we kill the animal based on that alone? So there's a Rashi, Mesech Tzmura Daf Chavches, and Rashi appears in Mesech Zvach and Daf Ayin as well, that the Ptur Alpi Bailam is based on Moda B'Knas Pater. That if this whole idea that you kill the animal is a Knas, and we have a din, that a Moda B'Knas Pater, when the Bailam comes and he's Moda to Knas, he's going to be Pater. Penalty is only something that can be imposed from the outside. It can't be something that he's moded to. Tosos Maseches Zvachim quotes that Rashi and Makas Dafei Amud Aleph, Tosos and Zvachim and Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph quotes Rashi and Makas and Dafei Amud Aleph that if someone is moded based in that he's chayiv misa, he's pater midin moded beknas. So Tosos writes that it doesn't seem that the misa sashar is just like that as a knas. It seems that even if he comes and he says that he was already chayiv and based in ploni, that let's say he comes and he says, look, this animal killed somebody, and you don't even have to judge it because it was already judged in a different basin, and they already determined that it's chayiv misa, but then it escaped. So even that would be pater, and that's not a knas. A knas is only if it hasn't already been imposed by another beis din. So that's not a knas. So he says it would seem that it would be pater in that case, because even though that's not called a knas, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. He doesn't think that that's called a moda b'knas. So what is the reason for the patur? So Tosfos in Zvachim writes that a shor. Tosfos writes in a couple of places rather that the reason that the shor is not chayiv on alpi the bailim is because adam karov etzel mamono, that a person is considered to be karov etzel mamono, and therefore his testimony is not believed about his own animal, and therefore it would turn out that even if he had a shutfus in this shor and both of the shutfin were made that it was rava or nirva, or the bala shor was made with the second guy min ashuk, and it turns out there are two edim on the shor, still you wouldn't kill the shor because they're considered krovim on the shor, and anyone who's considered karov etzel mamono, that would make it that you wouldn't believe his testimony about that shor. Fine. There is a discussion in the Rishonim also. What if it's Roveh v'nirva lovid kuchavim? Is that also going to be asul gavoa? Is that also going to be a problem? And kashul lahedyot. So the what if it's hamis an ovid kachavim? It kills an ovid kachavim. Is it a din in the shor or is it a din in the avera that was done by the other party? So Sfasemis has a lengthy discussion about that. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. Bishlam a tumtum b'migdash lo dilman akevahi. I understand very well why a tumtum cannot be brought in the migdash because it might be in the keva, and in the keva, and it's obviously not a bechor. Therefore, b'medina lo dilma zachar hu v'las b'muma, and it can't be brought in. You can't just shecht the medina because maybe it's a zachar and therefore it is a bechor. And if it doesn't have a mum, you can't just shecht the bechor in medina. Ela androgynous outside of the mikdash. Ela androgynous bishlam mikdash lo dimlan kevihi. But androgynous, I understand why you can't bring it in the mikdash because maybe an androgynous has the status of an akeva. Ela b'medina, but why can't you shecht the androgynous outside of the mikdash? B'medina nami. Let's take out the word nami. Nihin nami switches it. Nihin nami dezacharu. Let's say the animal, the androgynous, that has simonim of both zachar and nekeva. Let's say, worst case scenario, it's really a zachar, and therefore it's a bechor. So how do you account for its female genitalia? You have to say that that's just a cut. It's a very bad cut in the animal. Well, a very bad cut in the animal makes it a balmum. And if it's balmum, you could shecht it b'medina. So manavshach, you should be able to shecht it b'medina. Either it's really a nekeva, so it's not a bechor to begin with, or it's really a zachar, and it's a balmum. So it says the Gemara, Amar Abayi, Amar Kra, O charetz, O shavur. Charetz dum yud shavur. Ma shavur b'makom etzem, af charetz b'makom etzem. Any cut does not necessarily make it a balmum. Now it has to dafka be a cut b'makom etzem, in a place where there's a bone. And therefore, that kind of cut would not be enough to make it a balmum, if it in fact were a zachar. Rava amar b'lo shavur nami lo matzamrit. Charetz Makom Basar Havei Muma. Rava says, anyway, I would know that you cannot possibly say that a cut in a fleshy area is considered a mum. Forget the pasuk that Abaye brought. Anyway, I know that it would not be considered a mum. Why? Disal Kadai Dechavei Muma. If you want to say a cut in a fleshy area is considered a mum, given the Amar Gerev Zeu Cheres Michretz Charetz. Since we said Gerev is Cheres, that type of boil, so that should be considered like a cut. Why should it be considered like a cut? We say part of the nature of this boil is that it appears to be deeper than the skin. Like the sun appears to be deeper, appears to be more recessed than the shadow. The shadow always appears to be on top of the sunny part. So too, that's the nature of this boil. So if charutz were a psul, a mum, even on a fleshy part of the animal, then you wouldn't need a separate psul of the boil that has a deep appearance, because anyway it would be psul, because it has a din of a cut. So a regular cut, which isn't ma'us, would be a problem, so certainly a boil, which is more ma'us, and looks like a cut, should all the more so be a problem. It should be a mum. So that's why we're being told that no, a charetz, a cut, is not a mum if it's on a fleshy part of the animal. So both Abaye and Rava hold the same din. They hold it for different reasons. They both hold that the animal that's an androgynous, you can't just say, even if it's a male, the female genitalia are viewed like a cut, which makes it a bal mum, because they both hold that a cut in a fleshy area is not considered a bal mum, that it wouldn't have the status of a bal mum. It is interesting that the Gemara says that what is it about the gerev? It's that it's amok min ha'or, that it's deeper than the skin. Now in the Medrash and Torah Kanam, and the pasuk says Umara Hanega Amok Me'or Besaro. It darshins that it's Marehu Amok V'lo Mamasho. That it's not actually this Mare of Tzaras, that it looks like it, or a boil, whatever, that it looks like it has. It looks deeper than skin level, but it feels that it's exactly on skin level. So the Torah Tzmima and the Chaznish and the Brisker Rav, they all ask from our Gemara that our Gemara is comparing it to a cut. A cut is actually deeper than skin level. It's not just something that looks deeper than skin level. So if this type of boil is not physically deeper, so why would it be considered a cut? Meaning Rava's whole raya is, well, it should be no worse than it should be even worse than a cut, because it's ma'us. In addition to being a cut, it's also ma'us. What do you mean, in addition to being cut? It's the same level as skin level. It's not a cut at all. So they point out that the truth of the Torah Tzmimim points out that you don't need to bring the Torah's Kohen into this kasha. Our Gemara is a kasha, because our Gemara compares it to Chama Ha'amuka Min Atzel. Right, you don't have to bring a Taurus Kanan that says that this type of boil only looks but isn't physically deeper. The Gemara says it's not physically deeper. The Gemara says it's like the sun in the shade. The sun isn't physically deeper than the shade, it just appears that way. So the Torah Tzmima says you have to say that the Gemara is trying to say that even if the nega were not mamish b'metzius deeper, but it looks deeper, like the marachama amukam in atzel, so it would be a problem kolshkein if it were actually deeper. And that answers the ha'ara from Torah's Kanim as well. That even if charis is not amuk b'metzius, but it's still considered a mum, so kolshkein charutz, which is a mum, it would be a mum because it's amuk even b'mamashos, it's actually physically deeper. Okay, so says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel Amar in the Chamum Gadol Mizar. Rabbi Shmuel said, no, if an animal is an androgynous, so you view it like a male animal that has this terrible cut, and that is a mum, and there's no greater mum than that. So what? Why does Rabbi Shmuel reject Abaye and Rava's drushes that a cut in a fleshy area is not a mum at all? So Abaye lo Amar, he rejects Abaye's drusha. He doesn't have such a comparison between charetz and shavr, that just like shavr is makom etzem, so to charetz has to be makom etzem. And Karava Nami Loa, Mary also doesn't know like Rava, maybe a normal cut is only a problem on a bony area, but this is a serious cut. This looks like, it looks like a female genitalia. It looks like something much more significant, and maybe that would be a mumra, and that would be bad. Even if it were, that would be a bona fide, a significant mum. Even if it were, even if it were on a fleshy area, fine. By Rava, my time is Rabbi Shmuel. So Rava raises the question, what is Rabbi Shmuel's logic when he says that you view the androgynous as if it's a zachar with a significant cut? Mifshat pshitle androgynous b'charu mumo imo odom sfuki misafkale. Is Rava certain about that? Is Rabbi Shmuel rather certain about that? That it is an androgynous, the androgynous is for sure a b'char with a mum? Or maybe he's not sure. Maybe he's saying, no, I'm a supak, I don't know if it's a b'char with a mum. Vim tim tzolomer kamar, and he's just saying vim tim tzolomer, that vim tim tzolom b'charu, even if you want to say that it has a din of a male, and therefore it's a b'char, hari mumo imo, but still it has a mum. So there are two ways you can understand it. Either he's determining that every single androgynous definitively has a din of a b'char, has a din of a male b'char, and it just happens to have a mum also, because that's the nakvus, has a din of a mum, or you say, no, he's not sure. It might be a nekeva, in which case it's not a b'char at all, or it might be a zachar, in which case it is a b'char, but it has a mum. So the main afkamina, what difference does it make whether he's sure, whether he's not sure, why does it matter? So the milka alei mishum giza v'avoda, which give him malchus if he does giza v'avoda with it. Because if you know for sure that it's a b'char, so then he gets malchus with giza if he does giza v'avoda, even a b'char bal mum. But if you don't know that it's a b'char, it might be a nekeva, you can't give him malchus for gizla avoda, inami lemisfa lekohen. Or about if it's a bechor, you'd have to give it to a kohen, and the kohen would eat it with that mum. But if it's a suffek, the Yisrael could eat it, because amotzi mechaver lavaraya, let the kohen prove that it really has kedushas bechor if the kohen wants to take it. So the Gemara is going to try to bring rayas one way or the other. So raya says the Gemara, here's a raya. Tashma, Rabbi Loyam Shum Rabbi Shmuel, androgynous bechor hu umumo imo. Rabbi Shmuel says an androgynous is a bechor with a mum. So you see that he holds definitively that it has a din of a bechor with a mum. Now says Gemara, "V'dilma imtim tzolomer ka'amar." Maybe it's not. It's not mifshat pshitale. He's saying it as an imtim tzolomer. He doesn't mean it literally 100%. He's saying even if it is a bechor, it still has a mum. So raya number two, tashma, zachar v'lo nekeva. Pasuk says Zachar, and we dash in v'lo nekeva. By Olas Bakar it says Zachar tamim yakrivenu, so we dash in can't be brought as a nekeva. Shomer lemata Zachar, so when it says Zachar, shein tam lomar, didn't need to say Zachar, matam lomar, lahotzi tumtum v'androgynous. So when it says Zachar again by Olas Tzon, which it doesn't need to say because it already said Zachar by Olas Bakar, it must be coming to exclude into a tumtum v'androgynous. So money, who is the author of that drasha that we need the second Zachar to exclude tumtum v'androgynous? If you want to say it's the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, Sveikahu. Well, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah held that a Tumtum and Androgynous have a din of a Safek, Vasi Krala Mute Sveika. What? So you need a Pasuk to come and tell me that a Safek is not going to have Kedushas Bechar? What do you mean? For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a Safek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what it is, whether it's a Zachar or a Nekeva. So it doesn't make sense that a Pasuk is coming to address a situation of Safek. El Rabban Basrai. So what? You want to say it's the last Rabbanan in our Mishnah that think that it's definitely a Beri B'fnei Atzmo and it's not a Bechor at all, and you could even do Giza V'avoda, it definitely doesn't have a din of a Zachar. So Michad Krad Nafki, Daha Gabi Bechor, Chad Zachar Duxiv, V'Kamatai Ma'ati Kuliminayu. Then you should only need one Pasuk, because by Bechor we only have one Pasuk and we exclude everything. We exclude the Tumtum and Androgynous and everything. We know that it doesn't have a din of a male. It has a din of a Beri B'fnei Atzmo. So who could the author of this drasha be? El Pshita Rabbi Shmuel. So it must be Rabbi Shmuel. V'yam bishlam Rabbi Shmuel mifshat pshitalei hainu disrach ralamute. Now if Rabbi Shmuel says definitively that an androgynous has a din of a male and therefore it's a b'char, but it also has a din of a balmum, so now I understand why I need a pasuk. Eliyam misafkalei, but if Rabbi Shmuel himself is not sure whether it has a din of a male or a female and the whole din is a suffik, again, I need a pasuk to address the situation of safek. There's no safek klapi shemaya. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need a pasuk to address safek. Doesn't need to make a pasuk to address the situation of safek. So says Gemara, isn't that a raya that Rabbi Shmuel is mifshat pshitalei? So this is our second raya. Says the Gemara, no. The Olam Rabban Basra'i. Maybe the author of that is not Rabbi Shmuel at all. Rather, it's Rabban Basra'i. The Gabe Bechor Tart. Hazachar veHazacharim. And by Bechor it also has two psukim, the pasuk Hazachar and Hazacharim, and that's why we need two psukim by the Karbanos Ola as well, the Olas Bakar and Olas Tzon. The Tosfos raises the kasha. The Gemara keeps on using this expression. It's the kral the muute safek. What, I need a pasuk to address a safek situation? Tosfos says, I'll give you some examples. There is a Gemara Maseches Bamitzia Davavan Beis. If one of the animals jumps from the animals that you've already counted toward your chashman of Meister Behema, as you're letting them out of the pen one at a time, you're counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10th Meister Behema. One of those animals that has already been counted jumps back into the pen amongst the animals that have not been counted. They're all potter, because it says Asiri, and we darshan Asiri Vadai, velo Asiri Safek. So we have a drasha, an explicit drasha, v'lo asiri safek. So what? Why doesn't the Gemara over there say, what do I need a pasuk to exclude safek? Also, there's a Gemara in Maseches Nazir, the Gemara in Nazir of Samachay. If a beheres is kadma l'seir lava on its tame, seir lava is kadma l'beheres tahar. Safek im kadma beheres l'seir lava, no seir lava kadma l'beheres tahar. Why? Because we have a drasha. The pasuk starts with Tara Tchila, so you have a drasha to address the situation of Safek. And neither of those Gemaras do we say, ah, what do I need a pasuk about Safek? There's no Safek, Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Tosfos says, there's a big difference between two different types of Sfekos. By Sfekos that are never able to be misbarer, like Baharis situation or the Meiser situation, sometimes it's one way, sometimes it's the other way, meaning it's not like it's always, you know, that if you're not sure if Baharis came before the Seir Lavan or vice versa, it's not always one way or the other. It's sometimes probably the Baharis came first, sometimes Seir Lavan came first. So then the Torah will address such a suffix. But a suffix that has a definitive answer, we just don't know the answer. So then the Gemara is going to ask, come on, you need a pasuk to be ma'itzav. An androgynous, we assume, is one thing or the other. We just aren't smart enough to figure it out. We don't know what it is. So that's where there's no safek klapei kudsha brichu. Kudsha brichu knows exactly what it is. He's not going to make a pasuk just to address the situation of safek. That is the way Tosos deals with the stira between the sugyas. Lecha Mishnah says that he thinks the Rambam held that it's a machlokas in the sugyas, whether you need a pasuk be ma'it safek, and the Rambam paskins like the sugyos that hold that you do need a pasuk to be ma'it safek. That's the Lecha Mishnah explaining the Shitas Rambam. That's in Ishus Perek Dalid Halacha Yud Aleph. There is a kasha though that several achronim ask, the Sfas Emes and others ask the kasha of Tosos from the case of the Bechor, of the Meiser rather, the animal that was already counted that jumps back in amongst the animals that haven't been counted, and the kasha of Tosos from the case of Tzara, of the Baharis and the Seir Lavan, which one comes first? Why don't we just say that only in a situation where the Pasuk is going to be Machmir, only in such situations does the Gemara ask, why do I need a Pasuk to be Machmir Misafek? In those situations, the Pasuk is coming to be Mekel. The Pasuk is coming to say it's Pata from Meis Behema, it's Natsaras, it's Tahar. That's where I do need a Pasuk to be Meis Safek, because we have a rule. Safek Daraisa L'chumra. So on my own, I would have always thought in a situation of Safek that I need to be Machmir. So what kind of Kasha is Tosfos even asking? Why do I need a Pasukim over there to tell me a situation of Safek, because those psukim are telling me that we're making me Safek. So that's going against the rule. In our Gemara, we wanted to say that we're going to be machmir me Safek. So that's, how could you even ask such a kasha? What do I need a pasuk to tell me a Safek situation? So the Maritz says that Tosfos must hold like the Rambam, that Safek d'oraisa l'chumra is only din d'rabbanan. The midaraisa, savik daraisa is really lakula. So since midaraisa, savik daraisa lakula, then you can vaiter ask the question, why do I need a pasuk to address safik on a daraisa level? I would have known to address safik lakula. I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me to address safik lakula. Sfas Emes also points out there would be a big nafkamina. If the Torah would tell me that it's Asr Vadai versus Asr Misafik, meaning had the Torah only left it as a Safik and said, okay, I'll be Machmir because of Safik Daraisa L'chumra, what would be if there's a second Safik introduced? Then I would be able to say Svek Sveka. But once the Torah gives me a Din Vadai one way or the other, so then mainly you close off the possibility of a Svek Sveka. Okay, we'll stop with that and we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow.